the Bible. It's your good friend, Aaron. We are now in Luke chapter 2, KJV. My date, I like to think, went pretty well, but I never know. It's 2024. Oh, man. I do like this young lady, but it's like you have to not get too excited, you know? You stay hopeful, but you can't get too excited, because it's like, yeah, if you get too excited, then if it doesn't go well, and or they ghost you or whatever, however it plays out, then, you know, you're less depressed or less sad about it, you know? So, yeah, so we'll see. I'm just taking it one day at a time and still trying to keep first things first, priorities first. So, what else? There's so much more I could share, but you know what? We're just going to... Oh, I do have a cool story to share. You know, I'm full of stories. All right, so it's a God wink moment, right? So me and this sweet young lady had a great talk. And then I asked her what was her favorite story in the Bible. I could have asked what her favorite verse was, but I'm more of a story person. I like the stories in the Bible, right? And so, so she tells me she loves a story about this woman, basically the woman's mite, right? And I was like, yeah, I love that story too, because she gave, you know, she gave everything, even though she had very little, close to nothing. And it's a perfect example of how many of us may feel like we're, you know, we have nothing, or, you know, or we'll say things, if you've ever heard people say like, oh, when I'm a millionaire, or when I make more money, you know, start making over six figures, blah, blah, blah. Whenever I make X, or I'm no longer struggling financially, then I'll give more. And it's like, no, God takes us through a series of tests. Testing our heart, you know, because giving is always about our heart. And to see, do we trust him? Like, even if you have only $100 in your bank account and you have so many bills due, will you still give, like, even if you don't have 10%, you know, will you give 1%? Will you at least give something, you know? Anyway, I could do a whole little mini sermon about personal experiences with giving, and have a lot of cool stories about that. But all right, so where do I want to go from here? Oh, so when I woke up this morning after having some interesting dreams, I turned on the Bible app under YouVersion, right? And I go to the kids version usually first, because the kids one is a little bit cooler, or a lot cooler than the adult version. And so, tell me why they're talking about the widow's mite. What chapter? Let me quote that. Yeah, it's in Mark chapter 12, verse 42 through 44. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions, for they gave a tiny part of their surplus. But she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. Everything she had to live on, like all, out of all her possessions. And that's, yeah, Mark chapter 12, verse 42-44. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your grace. Thank you, God, that you are a healer, a restorer, a redeemer. We pray that no weapon formed against us can prosper. We put on the full armor of God. We put on the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the belt of truth. Lord, we just give you all of our fears, all of our worries, all of our doubts, all of our heaviness that we might have woken up with this morning. We just pray, God, that you would lead us, guide us, order our steps. And thank you, Lord, you've not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. In Jesus' mighty precious name, I pray. As we go into this word, I pray that it would speak to our hearts, and that at least one thing would stand out that would transform our minds and transform our souls, transform our spirits, and just draw us closer to you and help us to trust you in a way that we've never trusted you before. Just increase our faith, increase our joy, increase our peace, increase just the gifts of the Spirit in us. Empower us to do everything that you've called us to do on this earth and in the life to come. In Jesus' mighty and precious name, I pray. Amen. Sorry, y'all. I might have a little bit of remnants of allergies, so forgive me if I sniffle a little bit here and there. See, how much time do we have here? Oh, 52 verses. Hold on a second, y'all. I'll be right back. Sorry, I had to blow my nose and grab some water. So, all right, here we go. Sorry, TMI for some of y'all, but hey. Man, this is rough. I'm just going to be honest, real with y'all, man. Like, the things that they, like, stereotypically say about women, how, like, they get, like, butterflies and, you know, start already planning like a whole feature with a guy with only like once they're like already, you know, attracted to them and like go on dates with them. It's like already you're ready to like, yeah, you start thinking with these like rose colored glasses and blah, 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 blah. And like, you start thinking about that person like all day long. Like, and you can't help it. It's like they're all you think about all day long. And you're just thinking about the next time you're going to be with them. And you just look forward to that. And oh, man. It's just, feelings. It's like, oh man, feelings. Oh, the people talk about catching feelings or being sprung. It's like, I don't like. It's like I have to just embrace the feelings, embrace them. They're just part of life. It's part of the human experience, you know. It makes me wonder sometimes how God feels about us, like, and He loves us more than anybody on this earth ever will. So can you imagine And sometimes we think that God doesn't have feelings, but he does. I don't know how those work, but because there's even, yeah, anyway, so I've heard people, like, are there scriptures that talk about, I need to go find these, I don't want to just misquote the Bible, but there's examples of God having, like, feelings and emotions and anger, and especially over, like, the children of Israel, and people talk about how you can grieve the Holy Spirit. I think there, I can't remember the exact scriptures that talk about that, but anyway, it only makes me wonder, like, how God feels about us, like, when we don't spend time with, like, even now, I was telling, we had a conversation, right, I don't promise I'm going to get to the word, but me and this young lady had a conversation on our date last night about just, like, communication preferences, because she's not much of a texter. She's more of somebody likes to, like, just, she'll talk on the phone for, like, a whole hour or whatever, rather than, like, text throughout the day. Because, like, I noticed that she was, like, a slow texter. And, like, I hadn't heard back from her for, like, almost, I want to say, like, a whole day. We had, like, planned this date. Anyway, where should I? I'm trying to debate what to even say. She was, like, a slow responder, right? And for, I sent her this message, like, and for a second I was like, I wonder if, like, she changed her mind or she's not really that into me, blah, blah, blah. Sometimes people get excited on the front end and then they, like, go ghosts or whatever. I don't know. Like, they get cold feet, blah, blah, blah. And so I had texted her, like, saying, hey, if you changed your mind, I understand if you were, like, excited in the moment and you liked me, whatever, and you, you know, blah, 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 don't want to have this date, I understand. She's like, no, I'm excited. I want to go. I want to meet up with you, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, we had a whole conversation about, like, slow texting and yeah. And communication styles and preferences, blah, blah, blah. So I keep saying blah, blah, blah. Like Biz Barkey. In the song, I think he says blah, blah, blah multiple times in a say he's just a friend. You say he's just a friend. Oh, baby, you. Anyway, so yeah. That's a long way of saying I bet God sometimes is like, is he really or she really going to, like, ignore me? Like, when we don't spend time, like, in his word or just in time in prayer. And I'm not talking about, like, saying grace over your food. I mean more like, even I had this conversation with my counselor. He's like, yeah, you can, one of the other guys that he counsels, like, that guy likes to talk about the Bible a lot, right? And so they have these long conversations about the word. But that does not substitute, just because you talk to a friend about the word of God does not, should not be a substitute for your personal alone time with God, right? And, you know, you got to be careful because, yeah, some people, you know, they turn that into, like, this religious thing. Like, so I have to spend my quiet time with God. If I don't do it, then he's mad at me, or, you know, it impacts my whole day. But it really does. Like, I've noticed, like, if I don't, that's one of the beautiful things about not having a regular job and doing this, like, Rebu stuff or whatever, is, like, I can start my day whenever. And so I don't feel rushed. You know, I have things I would like to do today, and nothing on my list of things to do today are, like, urgent, right? There are things that I would like to do today, and there's things that kind of really need to be done. Like, I do need to, like, go make some money, but at some point. But, like, when I worked like a regular job, I would, you got to be there at a certain time, right? And there'd be days where you'd be like, dog, like you might have only gotten like 4 hours of sleep, and you're like waking up and you're getting ready and you're rushing through your day to get started to be at that job at such and such time. Get started, get your day started, and be at work on time, right? It's amazing how we can prioritize our jobs, right? And making money, but just skip right over like prioritizing spending time with God, spending time in His Word, spending time in just prayer and silence before God, meditating on His Word. And so, anyway, where am I going with all this? Where am I going with all this? Just like you would prioritize a relationship, like pursuing a partner of a potential partner's heart. I'm gonna quote this real quick, and then I promise I'll get into the word. Y'all know there's a fast forward button. Y'all can skip over a lot of this when I start rambling like this. But somebody said, treat, I saw this post that said, is under this account that I follow called The Purpose Marriage. And they said, treat her like you are still trying to win her, and that's how you will never lose her. There's something about when you're first getting to know somebody and dating them and, collecting data, and you try, like, at least I try not to, like, I don't want to, like, love bomb them too much, or, like, oh, well, shoot, I don't necessarily have currently. Let me not say that. God is growing my faith in my finances, right? So, even though I believe in the spirit realm, I have an abundance of financial resources, I try to live modestly, and I do have these other, financial obligations that I have to take care of as far as like child support and, bills, responsibilities. So, anyway, just in general, when you're first dating somebody, you're trying to put your best foot forward. You like check your nose multiple times, make sure there's no boogers. Try to check your teeth and make sure there's not like food stuck there, you are making sure you wear like nice clean clothes, and like yeah, you're just making sure your breath doesn't stink, blah, blah, blah. Make sure your body showered, make sure your hair is looking okay. All these things, right? So, and all you do all these things to like pursue this person's heart and to want them to like you, blah, blah, blah. The cool thing about our relationship with Jesus is like, you don't have to, you can just show up as you are. Stanky breath, morning breath, food all in your teeth, hair jacked up, smelling like whatever, not having a bath the night before. You can just show up as you are and say, here I am, Jesus. Good morning. And you don't have to earn His love. You don't have to, you can be yourself. He already knows all your deepest secrets. You don't have to hide anything. You don't have to be like, if I tell them this, will they not like me now? Will they, you know, second guess seeing me as even a friend? Blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't know why I'm saying blah, blah, blah so much today, but with Jesus, you can let your hair down. You know, even though I don't have that much hair. With Jesus, you can, you know the expression though. With Jesus, you can be yourself and not wear a mask and not, you know, pretend to be this whole other person to get this person to like you. And honestly, that's what I'm looking for in my future wife. It's like, I need somebody that I can. I understand they're not perfect, you know, they're human. But I need to be able to be myself around them and feel comfortable, you know, telling them my deepest secrets, all of that. So, all right, here we go. Luke chapter 2, KJV. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth. Man, we're already 21 minutes in. Oh, well. Into Judea and unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Hopefully it wasn't like the American Inn. The American Inn is a hotel or motel that you never want to stay in if you're in Kansas City. It's on Armour Road. Yeah, I highly encourage you to never. I highly discourage you to not stay there. Discourage you from staying there. Yeah, there you go. I was trying to say that in the proper English way. The angel song. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days, there goes 8 days, new beginnings. Verse 21, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, Savior, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. The Song of Simeon. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Peniel, of the tribe of Aser. She was a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake unto him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The boyhood of Jesus. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they saw him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Hold on a second. Yeah, I was just reading that not too long ago. I don't know where, or I watched some kind of video, and they were talking about how Jesus was 12 years old when he got lost in the temple. His parents lost him. And it's just another example of the significance of the number 12. Because yeah, the woman, remember the girl who they thought was dead, but she was really sleeping. I think that was somewhere in Mark 5, somewhere around there. She was 12 years old. The woman who suffered with the issue of blood for 12 years. Then you had the 12 tribes of Israel, Aaron on his breastplate, or whatever, the ephod. He had like the 12 jewels on his ephod representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And then you got the 12 disciples. 12, 12, 12, 12, 12. 12 is all throughout the Bible. There's 12 months in a year. Anyway, just had to point that out real quick. Verse 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days. Interesting, that was after 3 days. They found him in the temple. Y'all catch that? This is like foreshadowing imagery, like Jesus died and rose again on the third day. Jesus went into the temple, or he was lost by his parents for 3 days. He was in there preaching, and then they found him Yeah, and it came to pass after the 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. That, I imagine, was the moment that Mary realized, like, this boy is special. There's more to him than, like, the things that the angel Gabriel, was it Gabriel that appeared to Mary? Anyway, the things that she had, that had been revealed to her early on, were now, like, coming true. Like, there were these confirmations, these winks from heaven, God winks to let her know, like, hey, like, this boy's different. Thank you, Lord, for this time of your word. Thank you, Lord, that you love us in a way that nobody else can, Lord, that you accept us just as we are. We can come to you broken, lonely, depressed, sad, with all our hopes and our dreams and our aspirations, God. All of our sin, all of our, just everything, Lord. Shortcomings, flaws. Your mercies are new, fresh every morning, Lord. We just thank you for another opportunity to just know you. We thank you for this word. Thank you for the revelations that came from it. And help us to be your hands and feet everywhere we go. In Jesus' mighty precious name I pray. Amen. All right, y'all. I'll holla. Till next time. Toodaloo. And blah, 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 blah. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. For the wages or the cost of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated or showed his love toward us, in that while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10:9-10. If we will confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with our hearts we believe we are now in right standing with God, and with our mouth we confess that we are now saved. Romans 10:13. For whosoever, anybody, everybody who calls upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. So if you would like to be saved today, you can simply say, Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know my sin deserves to be punished. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died for me and rose from the grave. I want to turn from my sin and trust Jesus Christ alone as my Savior. Thank you for the forgiveness and everlasting life I can now have through faith in Jesus. In Jesus' mighty precious name I pray. Amen.